you were telling me that the 115 inch, it's a 6-man lift just to lift that TV.
Yes, and it is 240 kilograms in the box. Yes, it is a bit of challenge. But if you want, we can always discuss it.
Usually
I think it's first everyone starts from negotiations with the wife.
I think Phil has the strength of 6 men.
No, I don't know about that. And I certainly don't have the strength to argue with the other half about putting 115 inches in the room either.
This week's podcast is proudly sponsored by Hisense, official partners of UEFA Euro 2024. Big games call for big offers, and that's why Hisense is giving you up to £400 cash back on selected TVs, including the new 4K mini LED TV. Make the smarter choice this summer and find out more at hisense.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's TV Display and Calibration Podcast for the 10th of June 2024. And on this edition, I'm joined by Jules. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Phil.
And we also have Marek from TCL. Hi, Marek.
Hi, Phil.
Right, so what are we doing on this edition of the podcast? Well, this week we're going to talk about big screen TVs. And of course, we've got Marek on the podcast as well. So we're going to talk about TCL. And the two of those go hand in hand because TCL really are pushing the boundaries when it comes to big screen TV. So we're going to get into all of that in this podcast. If you're wondering who AV Forums are, well, we've been around since 2000. The editor has been around since 2003. And I'm Phil Hinton. I'm the editor of AV Forums. I'm a TV calibrator, TV reviewer, and I also do a lot of the podcasts and videos that you see on the channel. And also joining me is Jules. Jules, why don't you briefly explain who you are and what you do?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I became a professional calibrator, display calibrator in 2011 under THX, became an instructor with THX, now with the Professional Video Alliance, the PVA. And I calibrate in production, post-production, and in custom high-end cinema, and in people AV Forums homes on their TVs. So see you a lot.
Yeah, cover everything, cover the whole gamut. And we also have Marek. Welcome to the podcast, Marek. And why don't you explain who you are to our viewers and listeners?
I'm Marek Maciejski. I'm in charge of product development, so product development director for Europe. And then I think behind all this interesting story, you want to listen.
Excellent. So Marek invited me out to Poland 2 weeks ago. It wasn't just me. There was a whole host of AV journalists from all over Europe. And it's an event that's run a couple of times. We were out there, I believe it was November last year. And then, of course, in May this year. The purpose of the event is that obviously we're talking about large screen TVs. So we're talking about 98-inch TVs, 115-inch TVs. Sending those out for review, Marek, is impossible, really, because you were telling me that the 115-inch, it's a 6-man lift just to lift that TV.
Yes, and it is 240 kilograms in the box. Yes, it is a bit of challenge. But if you want, we can always discuss it. Usually, I think it's first everyone starts from negotiations with the wife.
I think Phil has the strength of 6 men.
No, I don't know about that. And I certainly don't have the strength to argue with the other half about putting 115 inches in the room either. But yeah, the whole purpose of the Experts Meet Experts events in Poland is that we get to go out and unfortunately we can't review the TVs as we normally would. So normally if a TV comes in to me, I like to spend at least 2 weeks with that TV and spending a lot of time testing it. And so we can't do that, obviously, in a couple of days, Marek, but it does give us an opportunity to run some measurements to check the basic functionalities of the TVs. And the other thing is that these TVs are part of a range. So looking at the 65-inch or the 75-inch, it should be very, very close to the 98-inch in the range. Is that right?
In general, 115 right now is part of X955 range, which goes together with 98 and 85. So this is our flagship range. And here we put everything what mini LED technology can achieve this year.
Yeah. And then obviously moving down, because you still got bigger screen sizes again in the 855, 805, and 755 this year, isn't it? So there's still big screen sizes in those ranges as well.
So if you look generally from big screen size, so right now our direction is to offer our customers in all the ranges, big sizes. So as I said, X95 goes to up to 115. But then if you go each step below, like C85 or C805, which is also outside Europe called 755, and then going even below, so you'll find always 98, 85, 75, because we see that this segment is booming in Europe. And from generally end user perspective, we see that there is more and more interest in just switching smaller screen sizes to large ones, because still there is no issue to see them and then to cover with your field of view or viewing angle of your eyes.
Yeah, and again, it's an impressive thing to see is TVs at that screen size, because then the next question is, it's one that I've discussed with Jules many times, Marek, is do you then replace the projector? And I guess if you're talking about shot through projection, this is a demo that you did back in November. The differences are quite stark between those two technologies, a large screen direct view TV and a shot through projector.
Normally, if you look from the content which is available today, so then we see that most of consumers move to OTT. And even one of the demo we did was the comparison between SDR HD version and UHD Dolby Vision version, just to show how big is the difference in terms of content quality between the same platform and two different tiers. So if you look, if you really want to experience the HDR content and all what OTT players today can deliver in Dolby Vision, I think you cannot do it with the short throw, ultra short throw, or even with long throw projector. You can only achieve it today with mini LED technology, because there is peak brightness, there is very high contrast, and there is also very high average brightness. So no limit, either if you put it to your dark room or to your bright living room.
And Jules, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think it's good to have these TVs coming onto the market, these larger size TVs. Of course, they will challenge, as Marek has said, those ultra short throws in particular, which were being marketed as a replacement for, or certainly as a lifestyle option that's suitable for people who can't have a long throw projector in a dedicated room. So it's going to be very tempting for people to switch out, because those projectors are quite compromised. The black levels, they're still affected by ambient light in the room. They don't have the peak brightness, and they don't have that dynamic range that you need for HDR. Of course, we've always made that point, haven't we, Phil, that HDR on a projector is a different thing.
Yeah.
It's not the same as you get on the flat panel. And there'll be many people like myself who are big fans of projection still. But I think the ultra short throw projectors are going to be squeezed, certainly by these products.
Yeah. And one of the questions, Marek, that I've been asked a number of times by our audience is, how can you possibly, and I know this is going to lead on to a very interesting discussion, how can you possibly, as a company, TCL, offer a 98-inch TV on the market for under £2,000? How can you do that? How is that possible?
If you recall one slide from my presentation, you'll see that TCL is behind the production of 98-inch panels, and we cut these panels in our 8.5 generation fab. Then, if you look from the fab capacity, it is, I think, 150,000 of mother glass sheets per month. So you cut it to up, and then you have 300,000 98-inch panels. So then, if you look on the worldwide market, you achieve the volume at which you can reach this kind of price point for global dimming product, because then the glass, there is no not a very big difference between the glass across these products. Of course, in the top range, you will have additional anti-reflection film, and you will have completely different backlight solution. But in general, you can achieve level of scale and then challenge also apps and then areas where projectors, multimedia projectors are used, because from the also office perspective, 98 inch is absolutely one of the best solutions. You don't have any issue with the bright room and so on.
I just want to pick you up on a couple of points, just so I'm understanding it correctly and the audience get this correct, because I think it's a very important number. You're saying that every month, TCL CSOP are able to produce 300,000 pieces of glass.
If you cut 98 inch, but then at this more or less level, you arrive to the worldwide size of the segment.
Yeah, so that's a huge scale.
So this is why if you just take magnifier and you will look on every 98-inch product, you discover that every LCD open cells comes from the same production line.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. That's your answer. And it's really fascinating seeing that slide, and hopefully Stu can show us that slide as well while we're talking about it. Just how that happens, because I don't think general consumers understand how the TVs are cut, and it's a mother glass. So maybe you can explain that, Marek, and then how you can divide that one piece of mother glass up into different screen sizes and actually how many cuts you can get.
Today we have in TCL two major fab generations. Fab generation is linked only to the size of the mother glass. The first one is 8.5 generation, and this one is around 5 square meters of the glass. And this we can cut either into 298 inch or, for example, 655 inch. And then we can also do this extreme cut with 85 inch and 22 inch for monitors. And then if we go to generation 11, which is very close to 10 square meters, so this we can cut to 675 inch or 865 inch. Or we can also, from this generation, we cut 115, but from the slide you see that it's not the last word we can do, because from generation 11, we can do also 130 inch to up a cut, which means maybe we will meet again in the future and you will be able to experience even larger things.
Yeah, 130 inches, that's something. But yeah, I mean, that's why you get your economies of scale, don't you? You're producing at those numbers. And it's not just, like you say, Marek, for the TCL brand, you're actually, that glass goes to other manufacturers as well as open cells.
If you look today, who supplies whom and how this business works for mini LED and LCD TVs, so then it is only based on access to panels and vertical integration. Because if you are vertically integrated, means you produce a key component by yourself, then you have full control over the sizes and also cost of the product. You don't really rely on all the market limitations.
So Jules, in terms of what you do and how you look at the market and going into people's homes, how many of these large screens are you actually seeing when people, get you in to calibrate? And would you say that you're seeing an upward trend in screen sizes getting bigger?
Hitherto, I'd say average is 65 inch and increasing with 77 inches. Very rare that I find a TV over that size. And that may be something to do with the UK, the size of a UK living room, wife acceptance factor, etc. Once you get into, 100 inches, that's a big piece of real estate that's permanently on the wall. And I suppose one of the benefits of an ultra short throw projector is you can just take the projector screen down when you've watched your movie. A lot of these are pull-ups or pull-downs, and you can get rid of it and have your 55-inch or your 65-inch TVs. So undoubtedly is a trend. We want immersion, don't we? And big screen, whether it's projector or a large 115-inch mini LED TV, it's so exciting. That's the way that films are designed to be watched, not on a small monitor. So you know, whichever way you look at it, this is great. I mean, it's fantastic that we're going in this direction. You get to see the movies as the director intended.
Yeah, and Marek, I guess it's an important point to get across as well, and one to look at. So you get the data from marketplaces. You're a manufacturer. It's in your interests to know what trends are and what people are looking at. So what does the data tell you as a company in terms of larger screen sizes and the uptake? And does it vary from country to country or continent to continent?
If you recall the slide I have shown in the very beginning about the market, so you will see that in general, UK is behind Europe in terms of average screen size. In general, also, this 55-inch and above segment size in UK is much lower than in other European countries. Here we have mainly Nordics, Germany and Poland leading in terms of 55-inch and above market share. For the time being, if you look on 98 or you look on 85, so then these are booming segments because these segments are generally 0.3-0.2% of the total market in Europe. But if you look on the market to be this year at 30 million pieces, so we enter into economy of scale. And then market for big TVs is usually US and Australia. In Australia, you know that typical living room is 100 square meters, so then there is no limit. But also coming back to what you said about 65-inch or 75-key scene. Honestly, on one of the slides, I showed that the viewing angle of your eyes, if you see 3 meters from the TV set, 65-inch is 30 degrees, means you watch in full HD. There is absolutely no way to see the difference between UHD content and full HD content. Only at 130 inch, you will cover 65 degrees of your maximum viewing angle. So it means still, if you will sit from 3 meters, your limit is 130. And then it is only the matter of your imagination and then ability to negotiate at home with your family to agree on the size of the screen and then be able to overcome. Are you crazy?
You're exactly right, Marek. I mean, when I'm calibrating in people's rooms, I often have to make the point that, you know what, you've got this lovely 65-inch TV, but you're sitting so far away, you're only seeing HD. You know, you're not seeing the resolution correctly. Obviously, one way to encounter that is stay where you are and get a bigger screen. But you have to overcome yourself the family objections.
Yeah, but then even, you know, if during the event, I think we put sofa 2 meters and a half from 115-inch and everyone said it was absolutely the perfect place to watch and to test from the subjective perspective, because you had a feeling that you are just immersed by the picture and you get absolutely everything you can get from the streaming content right now.
Yeah. So, Marek, obviously, you're bringing these TVs to the market. The 115-inch is your hero product, but it is quite expensive. I think we're talking £25,000, am I correct? That's the cost for that?
Yes, and the same price is also, we have €25,000 recommended price. We should only call it recommended or a market, what we see from the dealers, because it is the dealer decision to offer the product. However, if you look on this kind of size, so then TV have to come with additional service like installation or also in some cases dealers offer calibration just to get the best experience.
Yeah.
Can I make a point there, Phil? I mean, if you're comparing that 25 grand to a projection system, you're maybe looking at a Sony 7000 or a JVC NZ8 plus a screen. Mm-hmm. And so that probably brings you to the same region, and it could be argued, obviously, technically, that TCL 115 inch has obviously, you know, higher contrast, probably better black levels, where it can shut its dimming system down, etc. So, you know, it's in the same. If you're 115 inches, you probably are replacing a projection system in that situation, and that's the kind of territory you're looking at.
Yeah. And I've got to say, the way I was going with that, with asking about the price, was more in terms of the brand recognition, Marek. Certainly, TCL are certainly on the disruptive side. I think would be fair to describe it. You, in terms of pricing, are very, very competitive in the market, and people are just getting, and certainly in the UK, just getting to know the brand, the TCL brand, and at the minute it's about price cutting. So how do you bring both of those sides together as a company? Because on the one hand, you're very value driven in terms of the amount of technology that you offer for the prices that you're offering your current TVs at. How do you join that up with this Halo product that's 25 grand? How do you get that juxtaposition? How do you explain it to the consumer?
Honestly, if you look from the TCL brand, or let's say the long way we did it, we started from building the market share, and then we started to add technologies, leading technologies. In 2019, it was first the first mini LED TV set. Then it took a few years to master the technology and to deliver performance. Then the second step was very large screen size. We were the first to launch 98-inch. Everyone used to say it's impossible and there is no such a market segment. And then it was clear just after that it was a correct decision. Then doing the next step is 115, because if there is market for 98, so then and there is also market, as Joe said, for 116, either as living room or as replacement to projectors. And I think TCL is already a known brand. And then thanks also to tests published by you and other reviewers, it's the brand you can trust in terms of performance and quality of products. So this is just how it goes, step by step.
So let's just talk about the Halo product then. Big screens are here to stay. The market segment's growing, as you say, it's booming at the moment. And when you see offers of a 98-inch TV at the kind of money that we're talking about, it was unheard of a few years ago. So let's talk about the Halo product first of all, and then we'll work our way down the product line for this year. So the Halo is the X955. I spent some time with the 115-inch, very impressive TV. Just from the time that I spent with it. For a mini LED TV, and maybe you maybe want to go into it in a little bit more detail, Marek, in terms of the technology behind it, because it's 5,000 nits, 20 odd thousand zones, and it's how you control that and how you get around that. So maybe you can explain to our listeners the tech specs of the 955.
So as I said, we have three models in this range: 85, 98, and 116. In 85, 98, we have 5,000 dimming zones. In 116, we have 20,736 to be very accurate, because it is just 5,184 times four. So we just multiply by four number of dimming zones. You have seen this TV set disassembled, and you were able to compare 85 with 115, how even 2,000, 5,000, and 20,000 dimming zones work, and how we can express all the speculars and control the light. Then, in terms of peak brightness, it is 5,000 nits in boost mode for all these products. And then, coming back from the motion performance, so this all are based on 144 Hertz panel. So for standard video content, 120 with motion interpolation, 144 for PC, even 240 for PC. From the perspective of HDR content, so all HDR formats are supported by this TV set on sound side, both Atmos and DTS. So you get absolutely everything you need. And then, of course, Google TV. Same specification is for Europe and also for UK.
Yeah, so it's really impressive lineup of features there. And if we take the dimming zones and the nits out of it, the ranges are more or less have the same technology, don't they? I mean, all your TVs support the same HDR formats. You're very technology agnostic, is that right?
This is our direction, because today, if you look on the content, how consumers consume content, So mostly HDR content comes from OTT services. You use Blu-rays, and then we also have extensive collection of Blu-rays, but from the standard end user perspective, they, I think Blu-ray, UHD Blu-ray today is like a sort of turntable, yes, for audio. Then people like it, like to feel it, they say, okay, this is absolutely uncompressed content. But from another side, technology in the TV is so advanced that even this compressed content, which comes from OTTs, is so well processed that really you have to look with the magnifier on the screen to look for differences to see them.
Yeah. And again, when we're talking about big screen sizes, motion is important, Jules. The bigger the screen, 24 frames per second, the more it does judder, the more that our eyes see it. So that's a known issue. It's always been an issue with projection and so on. So Marek, how are you getting around that in terms of motion processing on your larger screens? Are you changing it up slightly?
Honestly, we leave it also to end user decision. So if you really want to torture yourself with 24p, you can do it. But I think on 115 or even 98, if you sit really close, so then it's mission impossible because you have additional impact coming from HDR and peak brightness. So you know perfectly that it's really impossible to do it. So that's why user can adjust motion interpolation. And then there are a lot of settings. Personally, I prefer the smoothest version. And then I still don't get, you know, all these complaints of soap opera effect and so on, because this was the old story of previous LCDs where it was extremely visible. And then honestly, I think maybe if you have 55 and sit really 3 meters from it, it is not so annoying. But then the larger screen you have, so then motion phases your eyes see are really with HDR annoying.
Yeah. Jules, let's get back to the point that you were making in terms of, yeah, if you're talking about a JVC projector on a screen and the 115 inch, I'm going to put you on the spot. If
I love it when you do that, Phil.
Yeah, if you were given the option of either, would you be tempted by the 115 inch direct view panel?
I have to say, you know, Phil, I'm a big fan of projection, and I think the JVCs are right up there in terms of quality of image around that price. And obviously, your room has to be optimized for that. So my own room is completely black fabriced, wall, ceiling, and floor. It's good. It's an amazing picture. I'm very interested to see what these displays look like, and whether it can, you know, it can turn me. So I don't know a better phrase, but I'm very interested to see these TCLs and that size and 20,000 dimming zones and what it can do, and seeing if there's any instances. Obviously, it's been a criticism of mini LED in the past, which is, you know, blooming and haloing around in around objects. So I shall be very interested, because, you know, by no means is projection perfect. You know, people have uniformity issues on projectors too. The black levels are probably not going to be as good as on the mini LED. So I think it's a very interesting situation we're in. But, you know, we mentioned turntables. There is still a strong leaning toward analog and vinyl, and what that brings qualitatively in terms of sound. And I think there's still going to be a place for projection, because the reflected image appeals to me. I find it calmer. I find it more relaxing than a direct screen. So I am very interested to see what these TCLs can do, and whether it can actually really, you know, turn me away from projection. So we'll see.
But does it have to turn you away from projection?
No, yeah. But I think if you're talking 115 inch, I don't think, you know, people in the UK have an option of putting 115 inch in one room and 150 inch screen in another room. Although some of my clients probably would do, you know, some of the high net worth clients probably would do. But so, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, I have a projection screen, I can pull my screen down to watch, you know, maybe 120, 130 inches, and then I have my 55 or 65 inch TV For normal TV. And of course, the other problem, one solution that we do have with projection fill is the acoustics. And of course, you can have an acoustically transparent screen and have your speakers right behind where the action is. And that sort of tying up the sound and the video together is something that's very, very immersive. And we have a problem with flat panels, video walls, big flat panels as to what do you do with the acoustics? Where do you put your speakers, you know? So is it going
It's
to be? Yeah.
almost like you read the running order, or you knew
Oh, I haven't seen it yet,
what my
but
next question was going to be there. So that was my next question, Mark, is obviously 115 inches. That's a lot of real estate that you're taking up on the wall. And in traditional audio setups, you have your LCR speakers, your left, center, right speakers. So with that wall being taken up by more or less a screen, how do you get around that? How does that end user then get around the sound issues?
Generally, if you look on this very large screen, so then in most of the cases, end user have either AVRs or other built-in solutions. So then we realized that, of course, we have to provide certain level of sound, but there is no point to do any built-in soundbar and additional speakers on the side, because anyway, this kind of screens are integrated with audio systems. And if you have so large room for this kind of screen, usually you can have also speakers behind you, above you, so to get the full audio experience.
Do you think this is going to open up another area, Jules? If we're getting these bigger screens, do you think speaker manufacturers are going to have to rethink how they do center speakers and so on? Or
Yeah, I think it is happening, Phil. There is some, speaker manufacturers are working on this and for solutions. I was just at a big LED wall producer recently, and we were talking about this very issue. And they've got one manufacturer who's very interested in working with them to produce a solution. So it is something that is being worked on. I don't know how successful it will be. As well as projection, I'm a fan of having the sound coming from where the action comes from itself, and I just think it's one of those things where we suspend disbelief better when the sound is coming from right behind the screen. So I'm again interested to see what the solutions can be and how persuasive they are, in terms of making that authentic. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, I think we've covered everything we need to cover on the big screens. We're going to go into the TCL products in a little bit more detail now, just to wrap up on the podcast. But before we do, if you have any questions regarding large screen TVs or anything that Marek said, then certainly send your questions in. Usual thing, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can send it in on an email, podcast@avforums.com. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can do it in the comments section below, and our producer Andy collates all the questions. He'll go through and pick out the questions that need to be answered. And of course, you can go to AV Forums, go to the podcast forum, look for this edition of the podcast, and then you can add your question in the comments section there. And like I say, what we'll do is if we get quite a few questions in from Marek, we'll send them across in an email and ask Marek to answer them, and then we'll give you an update on a future podcast. And normally on the podcast, we do Q&A sections where we will answer questions that you send in. So we're not live, we can't do it as live, but we will obviously circle back on the podcast and answer those questions. Right. So we're going to move on and talk about the TCL lineup for 2024. So, Marek, the floor is now yours. Why don't you take us through the entire range for the UK and what people will be seeing in the shops very soon, if not already?
So, coming from the top, so you have this X95 range we already talked about, 115, 98, 85. Then this is our flagship product range. Then the next step and the range we introduce right now is the 855. You will see 65, 75, 85, 98. In terms of performance and specification, so it is mini-LED with quantum dot enhancement film. And in 65, we have 1,344 dimming zones, and above, we have 2,000 dimming zones. In all these products, in peak boost brightness, we deliver over 3,000 nits up to 3,500 nits of brightness. And then in terms of motion, And then HDRs also in terms of smart TV, this product is equal to X95. Then we do one step below, and we have on the market C805. C805 is available in UK. You recently tested the, I think, 55-inch.
Yeah.
We have it with starting from 55 up to 98-inch with mini LED backlight, with dimming zones starting from 300 up to 1000 in 98-inch, and then in peak brightness is above 1000 nits. It is also a 144 product with motion interpolation, also with all HDR functionalities. Then we go one step below, and then we have C655K. C655K will be available in sizes from 43 up to 85-inch with FreeView Play. And so this is the difference, because all products above are with Google TV. Here we have Android TV with FreeView Play. Only 98-inch is with Google TV. And then in C65, we have global dimming, 460 nits. So product is bright enough with also quantum dot. And then also all HDRs. And then one step below, P755, so 43 up to 75-inch, also product with FreeView Play. And then slightly dimmer, because going up to 300 nits, but still with white color gamut, just to deliver good streaming performance.
Excellent. So it's a full range. There's lots there. We're going to get some more screens in for review. I'm really interested at looking at the C855. I think that's a very strong product, and I'm looking forward to perhaps having a look at that in the near future. I just want to pick up on a few things with the range, and a few questions that I know some people will have. And the first one is smart TV. Obviously, Google TV. We have had instances in the past where there's no BBC iPlayer, or there hasn't been all the catch-up services for the UK, and where you've put solutions in place in the past with, I think you were giving away Roku sticks or some kind of solution like that. For this year going forward, in terms of Google TV, are you still missing some of those apps in terms of the UK catch-up services, or is that something...
Honestly, with Google TV, we fully rely on the cooperation between Google and PSBs. PSBs in UK is BBC and then ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5. And then we can only implement the services if there will be agreement between PSBs and Google. So as long as there is no agreement, we cannot change here anything. And then we hope all these business issues will be resolved. So that's why for C65 and P75, we keep FreeView Play with Android TV.
Yeah. And there's a new service coming to the UK, Freely. Is that something that you are looking at in terms of implementing into your TVs at some stage?
Freely is just the next generation of FreeView Play replacement. And then it's supposed to be the solution for all smart TVs. But as I said, Google TV is the subject for the specific agreement between Google and PSBs who are behind Freely. And once it will be solved, so then I hope we will be able also to deliver it.
Yeah. And one thing that Jules mentioned, and I think it's an important point to kind of come back around and discuss it again, because we didn't really discuss it. So Jules lives in a dark hole. A black hole when it comes to projection system. But one of the advantages of a big screen TV, Marek, is you don't need to live in a black hole. You can have whatever decor you like within the room, as long as the lighting's done right and not hitting the screen. That is a solution for a large screen TV versus a projector.
And I think, Phil, you also miss one opportunity to see in Bromley. Because beginning of May, we had just the meeting with media in London, and then we did it in a very bright house. So then there was 115, and there was also an 88C855 just close to the window, even with the sun just going on the screen, and absolutely no issue. So then all the HDR was you were able to see, and then you were able to experience. So I think if you talk about this black hole, Jules Leaf, so then in this black hole with the sun, so there it won't be black anymore.
Yeah, excellent. And that's a point that we did miss there on that one. Another one I want to pick up on is HDR and talking about peak brightness and peak nits. Because I think we need to clarify the 5,000 nit claim on the 955. So that is with a booster. So maybe you
Yes.
can explain that, because the actual native measured peak brightness on that panel that I measured was about 2,500, 2,600 nits.
Yes, sustained.
So yeah, that's sustained. So maybe you can explain for the viewers what you mean by the 5,000 nits boost and what it actually does.
So this one is available for a limited period of time. And then for X95, I think we talk about 15 seconds of the time for which this brightness is available. Because when you look from video sequences and then how the content is produced, so usually you need it for a very limited period of time, and then to get this better effect. But then if you keep the brightness, or let's say the object on the screen very long, so this brightness, peak brightness, will go down. But there is no connection with the average brightness, because average brightness for X range is around 900 nits. And then it stays always, it's always available. So here is the only difference.
Yeah, I just thought it was an important point that we needed to pick up on there, just for obviously those listening in at the moment. And the last one I'm going to talk about is gaming. Gaming is huge these days. I'm going to put my hands up. I'm not a big gamer, basically because I don't have the time to game these days. But gaming is very important for a lot of people out there, Marek. I would just disappear down a cul-de-sac if I picked up a controller. I would get no work done. But gaming's very, very important these days, Marek. So maybe very briefly explain how important it is to TCL and what kind of technologies you really think make your TV stand out.
Gaming is part of our product. So all products come with game bar where you can see format you get to the TV. We also provide automatic low latency. So you can either keep a TV in automatic game mode, or you can force it with Game Master. Then, as on one of the slides 2 weeks ago, I have shown for gaming, for input lag, it is pure mathematics, because you know down to which delay you can go, and then you can measure delay in the upper corner, in the middle, and in the lower corner, because it is the matter of the screen refresh. So from VRR perspective, you get everything you need. You get also all the formats like Dolby Vision 120 and HDR 120. So you can play with your game consoles. And from PC, you can go with HDR 10-bit up to 144, or even in 240 in full HD. So whatever you need, you can do today with TCL TV set for gaming.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you, Marek. I don't usually do this when guests come onto the podcast, because we normally just do an interview and then that's it and finish. But I really do want to thank you for your honesty. It's really, really refreshing. It's really, really refreshing. And I want to get this across to listeners and viewers out there. I speak to all the manufacturers, speak to all the manufacturer reps and all the rest of it. And when you ask questions like, how many dimming zones does this TV have? How many, you ask any kind of technical question and you're met with it, well, we don't disclose that. Marek, your honesty, the way that you have explained what your technologies are, how it works, how many dimming zones your TVs have, what the peak brightness is, I think it needs to be congratulated. It doesn't happen enough in this industry. People don't want to talk about these things for whatever reason. Yet I really do like the fact that you're prepared to talk about whatever it is about the product. You seem to be really quite proud of what you're doing there and quite happy to talk about it. So well done. Thank you.
Phil, but anyway, just also to say one word before I will say goodbye. Anyway, you can all test today. So that's why we are honest and we support you. We show that we what we do, and then whatever we say about the product is the truth. Because at the end, you can also count by yourself. I think someone managed to count 20,000 in Ingsos. So then it's only a matter of time. So then that's why we show you OpenNTD, and it's much easier to count these LEDs.
Yeah, and I think the consumer likes that as well. They like to get a straight answer. What were you going to say, Jules?
Just one other plus point. I noticed in Calman 2024, which is our calibration software, that there's a TCL workflow
Yep, there is.
that's been added to that, and there's 3D LUT calibration, which is
Yes.
fantastic, and a proper Dolby Vision configuration file upload as well. So we can do the full works with that. I haven't tried it yet. Hopefully it works. It isn't always the case with Calman's workflows, but hopefully it is the case. This works very nicely and allows us to achieve that color precision that we want as AV enthusiasts.
And well remembered
We
there.
already tested it, so then it works not only with Kalman but also with other calibration software coming from UK.
So I well remember, because I did forget to mention that yes, there is a full Kalman workflow, and we were given a presentation of that in Poland as well. So yeah, the only thing left to do is there is a video coming from this Poland event. I'm currently working on the edit now, and Marek is going to take you through on the video the full range that was on display there. So stay tuned for that video. It'll have my thoughts on the 115 inch, some of the measurements that I managed to do while I was out there, some of the other screens that I looked at, and some of my thoughts on those giant screens. But we are going to get some of the smaller screen sizes in for review and spend quite a bit of time with those, so you get a good appraisal of those. But Marek, for now, thank you very much for your time. It is appreciated. I know our listeners all appreciate the fact that you've gone through everything as well. So thank you very much, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Goodbye,
Mark.
and hope to see you soon.
And so our thanks to Marek, and like I say, if you've got any questions, any comments, then do put them down below if you're watching on YouTube or the thread at AV Forums. Head over there and put your questions in there. Right, Jules, we just need to do some of the housekeeping now. So competitions, there is a hardware competition. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Yeah, this sounds great, actually. You can win a streaming system worth £2,400, which includes a Roxen Atessa integrated streaming amplifier and the Monitor Audio Silver 100 7G bookshelf speakers. Closing date 11:59 p.m., Wednesday, August the 28th. All
Excellent.
competitions open to eligible AV Forums members.
You have to be over 18, you have to be a resident of the UK, and your name can't be Phil Hinton. Otherwise, you can do that. Don't forget, we also got disc competition. So there's plenty of DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K discs, box sets, all that kind of thing, open for our patrons and our standard AV Forums members. So again, it's the same address there, avforums.com/competitions for those. We've got some previous winners, so maybe you could take us through those, Jules.
Absolutely. J Rule won a set of KEF LSX2LT wireless hi-fi speakers worth £899. RGB123, I like that name, RGB, won a pair of the brand new Q Acoustics M40 speakers worth £749, courtesy of Peter Tyson.
Some cracking prizes there. Well done, guys, for winning those. And then we've got some new patrons.
We have Leon Rod, Donard Leonard, Psy32, Tariq Lurenko, Crazy Goose, Oscar, Madfish.
Yeah, and we also introduced a new annual membership, and we want to thank the following supporters for having signed up for the whole year, and they are.
Gary Heather, Sebastian Cafanti, Andrew Karuna Luff, hope I said that correctly, Dave Chamberlain, David McRoberts, David Oliver, lots of Davids, Dr. Neil, and Pervase Fredrickson.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your support, guys. It really is appreciated. It does help us produce more editorial and do a lot more things that help you. So your support is really appreciated. And of course, buying us a coffee is something that you can also do. And doing that was George Van and Somebody Called Someone. That was the username somewhat. Well, thank you very much for the coffee. So that's it for the TV display and calibration edition. There's lots of Q&A questions. We didn't have time for them this time around. We're going to make time for them next time around, as well as your questions from Marek and some of your comments as well from this podcast. So tune into the next TV display and calibration podcast in July. Our next episode of this podcast is the Home AV edition. That'll be available to you on Monday, the 17th of June. We're talking about speaker placement, that kind of thing, Dolby Atmos and so on. So join us for that, and that'll be available from 7 p.m. on the AV Forums podcast YouTube channel. So you have to subscribe to that channel. It's a different to the main channel, so that's AV Forums podcast YouTube channel. Go and subscribe there. You'll never miss a podcast. They come out 7 p.m. every Monday throughout the year. So even when it's a long month and there's an extra Monday, we've got a gaming podcast. So we've thought of everything this year. If you enjoyed the podcast, if you like these things, if you like everything that we're doing, including these interviews with manufacturers and so on, and you think we deserve a bigger audience, then please share it. Share the podcast on social channels, on other forums, other websites out there. If you think it's worthwhile for people to see, then please do that. It would really be appreciated. So thank you very much, Jules, for your time. Anything interesting coming up in the next few weeks for you calibration-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down at a Gradient studio in London tomorrow, doing some monitors down there. And then just generally schlepping around the country, doing projectors and TVs as usual.
Okay, well, have a great month. We'll see you on the Home AV podcast, but have a great month, Jules. I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you again in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.